Welcome back. Here we go. Now, Mitchell sent me the majority of the information you're going to hear Saturday. He knew his sources had already given him much of the inside texture, the topography of what really happened in Russia with Wagner PMC and Yevgeny Prigozhin, what really happened. There have been a few people who have written about it here in the West. You have a remote idea that there's more to it than we've been told. Oh, there's a lot more. Wait until you hear what Mitchell Henderson has found and is going to present this hour. Also, I'm going to remind you at the top of the homepage, I'm staying with this for the time being, Military Summary, the web channel, is very, very good at presenting the day's events in video format, all up and down the line of confrontation, the line of contact in Donbass and Ukraine. The Ukrainians continue to throw men and equipment. They didn't buy the equipment, and the men are free. They're called Goyim citizens of Ukraine. They're throwing them into the meat grinder. This has been one of the most brutally costly military confrontations I've ever seen or even read about. I'm sure there have been worse, but this is pretty damn grim. At any rate, you can watch the top of the homepage and stay up to date at all times with highly informative videos, and they have a mapping and a battlefield presentation that is second to none. So by all means, avail yourself of that. Mitchell, welcome back, and yes, thanks for sharing that on Saturday. You've been way ahead of the game. You've been adding to it since then. So let's find out where we are.
Well, I've just been trying to get a clearer and clearer picture and a clearer understanding. So so let me go back to the beginning of what Wagner Group was. It was founded by a GRU agent named Dmitry Utkin in order to allow Russia to get involved in conflicts overseas by giving the Russian state plausible deniability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was intended to be a part of the Ministry of Defense, no matter what. The GRU, for those who don't know, that's Russian military intelligence. Okay. So Prigozhin was a personal friend of Putin, so he was allowed to head it. Wagner Group has income from only one source, the Russian Ministry of Defense. Nobody else pays it, only them. The United States, in its efforts to make the old pedophile Biden look good, is desperate to have a positive outcome in Ukraine. In March 2023, the Wagner Group put out recruiting videos intended to recruit American veterans. The CIA got the idea to have some Americans join the Wagner Group as a way to approach the mercenary company to drive a rift between the Wagner Group and Putin. The first stop operation was to bribe Prigozhin to start a fight with the Ministry of Defense.
Okay, hold on, Mitch.
Go ahead.
Hold on. This is really good. I want to go through this slowly, so forgive the interruptions, but these are very important and salient points. Number one, Wagner PMC put out the word that they were going to accept American volunteers to join the professional military organization. The CIA found out about this, if they were not involved with it in some other way, and sent six Americans or thereabout who spoke Russian, obviously trying to embed assets into Wagner PMC. This is very important to understand that the CIA was involved with the whole impregnation of the Wagner Group with Americans from the beginning. As soon as they put up that recruiting poster, the CIA was on this. Okay, go ahead. This is a really fascinating story.
Okay, so keep in mind this. This is an American thing against the GRU, because all through the Cold War, the GRU managed to infiltrate soldiers into the American services like crazy. Many of those people were spies, okay? But the United States never got a single soldier into the Soviet Army, okay? So this was looked as an opportunity for the CIA to kind of get even on that aspect. So the first operation was to bribe Prigozhin to start a fight with the Ministry of Defense. They always wanted you to do something small first. For example, an old Soviet spy, if he approached an American soldier, he'd say, "Hey, can you get me a telephone book from the base?" Simple things, unclassified things, to get them on the hook, and then they recruit them, right? So the CIA got the idea to have some.
Hold on. One other thing. This is important. I remember, I believe, the first time that Prigozhin made a public statement of dissatisfaction with the MOD and the Russian military, not giving his troops enough ammunition. He didn't speak kindly of the leadership of the Russian military, i.e. Shoigu, right, and Gerasimov.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
Even before Gerasimov was in charge, it was, I forget his name, starts with an S. Anyhow, this is all exactly as it happened, what Mitch is explaining now. This happened. Everything he says happened. Go ahead.
Okay, so keep this in mind. American contractors make about $20,000 per month, while Wagner only pays $2,000 per month. The Wagner Group had these men figured out right away. They expected Americans that were not able to get a contract job with an American firm. But the guys the CIA sent were top of the line, men who could easily get hired by American military contractors. Prigozhin told Putin of the billion-dollar bribe. Putin gave Prigozhin the go-ahead because Wagner Group has always been a de facto organ of the Ministry of Defense, if not a de jure organ of the Ministry of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
So Putin allowed
this is too good. Hold on, please.
Yeah.
Prigozhin wants a meeting with Putin. So they apparently sit down. Maybe they did it on the phone. I don't know. But he told Putin all about the plan. He told him the CIA was involved. And Putin, I can't even imagine the conversation. But this is really hilarious. So go ahead with the story.
Yeah,
just let it
unfold. The fact that Prigozhin is still alive is proof that he came to Putin with all this information. Putin allowed this because Prigozhin is his friend. You see, Russia has paid Wagner Group $1 billion since the war started for fighters, and Prigozhin's catering company was paid another $1 billion by the Ministry of Defense for feeding the troops. He's got a contract to feed troops.
Ah.
Okay. So keep in mind, each of these $2 million he got for both things, that went to his company. I'm sure he got probably 10 to 25% of that money profit into his pocket, but the bulk of this money went for expenses. So this meant that one third of the money made by Prigozhin in the Ukraine war was paid by the U.S. Department of Defense. Putin knew that this first bribe by the U.S. to Wagner Group was just the hook. They would pay for more. After the great Ukrainian counteroffensive stalled on June 6, it looked like there was no way out for the Biden policy. Since the counteroffensive could not create a desperate situation for the Russians on the Zaporizhzhia front that would create the narrative that Russia used a tactical nuke at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant out of desperation, and this was to be the pretext for getting NATO directly involved in the war. This scenario failed to materialize completely, so out of desperation, the CIA decided to bribe Prigozhin to overthrow and assassinate Putin. About 2.5 weeks ago, the Department of Defense decided to pay Prigozhin the $6 billion to do just this. Prigozhin took the money and went directly to Putin. This would be good money. Prigozhin keeping $1 billion, Lukashenko $1 billion, Putin $1 billion, and $3 billion to pay a bonus to the Wagner troops that staged the rebellion and the Ministry of Defense. Some of the objectives achieved by the rebellion. So let me go over them. An excuse to make Wagner Group a de jure formal part of the Russian Ministry of Defense. Russia had a formal military presence only in Syria. Now that Wagner is part of the Ministry of Defense, Russia overnight gained a formal military presence in 9 other nations: Iraq, Iran, Central African Republic, Libya, Sudan, Mozambique, Mali, Venezuela, and Burkina Faso. So he actually has troops in the Western Hemisphere. Okay, so this was a major objective, and the American people actually footed the bill for this. We paid for this $6 billion. The second thing was covered to move troops.
Didn't we just have a story coming out of the Pentagram recently about $6 billion unaccounted for? What a coincidence!
Yeah, I'm going to get into that. So, so the second thing was covered to move troops to the Belgorod area for an offensive on Kharkov, and covered to move the Wagner forces to three camps in Belarus to spearhead an attack on Kiev from the north. The next one was to motivate the Russian population to support a fresh offensive to end the Ukraine war. So I think it is interesting that a couple of weeks ago, the Pentagon had publicly proclaimed that they had $6 billion missing. It wasn't missing. The CIA did not have $6 billion to bribe Prigozhin, so they had the Department of Defense ante up the money. It is the if the operation succeeded, it would be money well spent. But the American operation was a sloppy affair. Almost immediately, Alexander Vucic, the president of Serbia, said that the rebellion was a CIA operation. Okay, he's inside the loop. He knows what's going on. Yeah. Okay, how did he know, besides the obvious? The second largest contingent of Wagner Group behind Russians are Serbians. Serbian intelligence has always worked with the Wagner Group. Also, Russian National Guard Commander Viktor Zolotov said today that, of course, NATO was behind the mutiny. Okay, so you know, these people probably didn't get the memo, okay? But officially, Putin has said that NATO had nothing to do with the mutiny. It was an internal affair. The folding of the Wagner Group into the Ministry of Defense was necessary for the next moves in the war. Why give Washington the credit? Even Anthony Blinken stated officially that it was an internal matter of the Russian Federation. Blinken was not in a hurry to admit yet another American failure in the war. Also, the U.S. never admits CIA failures. You see, success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan. So Putin would only allow this if he had much bigger fish to fry, like ending the war. At any rate, 2 weeks ago, the New York Times reported that U.S. intelligence said there was going to be a mutiny in Russia. Oh, how did they know? Well, because they paid for it, okay? They were in the loop because it was their loop, okay? And take a notice on this, too. Blinken has ordered all diplomats to not say a thing about the mutiny. They cannot discuss it with anybody.
No, they've all been
privately, publicly, anything.
Yep,
they can't say anything.
Everything fits. Everything Mitchell's saying fits the facts of what we've been able to observe. It's all there.
Yeah, it's like it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the mutiny was a taking off of the kid gloves moment. Russia now has to adapt a realistic strategy. They need to invade Belarus south along the Polish border to keep Polish and U.S. troops from entering and occupying western Ukraine. They need to sweep west from Kherson to the Moldovan border in order to link up with the floods of the Russians of Transnistria and keep NATO troops from entering western Ukraine from Romania. Now, keep in mind that they blew this dam up when they started the offensive, like June 4th, 5th, and the water subsided now. So it didn't do anything good for the
total
Ukrainians.
Waste.
Yeah, they're waste. They're not slick. They don't have their stuff together. They don't have their stuff together because their leadership is us. We're the ones who are running that war, and we're not good at it. They need to attack south from Belarus and take Kiev and shut down the Ukrainian government. Russia wants to try Ukrainian officials for war crimes. Zelensky is a dead man walking at this point. He will not survive to go into a wealthy asylum. I am surprised that Russia has not already snuffed the faggot tranny Zelensky already. Okay, they're much more patient than I would be, I think. So the United States wants an armistice so they can torment Russia with Ukraine for the next century. Russia will not accept this. A whole Wagner mutiny was a play to put on by the Kremlin to distract the West from his next moves. We are absolutely buying the narrative, and we are misinterpreting it to our detriment. The West jumps on it because we have turned our failure into Russia's failure in the media. Russia likes to be underestimated. I sent something fishy from the get-go. The morning of the mutiny, I saw citizens in Rostov on Don approaching Wagner troops, asking them what was going on. The Wagner troops did not say they were saving Russia. They said it was really nothing and would be over soon. This was long before the negotiations to end the mutiny. So you see, even the lowest troops knew it wasn't a real mutiny. Okay. The second thing about it is it did not seem realistic is that no one was getting killed in this operation. Now, after the whole thing was done, Russia said, oh, yeah, they shot down a helicopter and an airplane. Well, yeah, they were shot down over Ukraine, okay? It wasn't necessarily the Wagner group that did it. They just assigned those casualties to this operation, if you know what I'm saying. It's, you know, we do that, too, all the time. So the second thing, the narrative has come out that the Wagner guy shot a helicopter down. This was an afterthought to make the rebellion look real.
It's theater.
That wasn't
the
really theater.
They got to make it look real. And that Antonov plane might have been a drone-piloted plane. Who knows? And they shot it down. Nobody was on board.
It's just part of the. It's just part of the theater.
Exactly. Yeah. Showbiz. Okay, so we got it. Now, just to backtrack, there's a lot of money changing hands here. The CIA thought it was really investing in the end of the Putin government, the death of Putin, the overthrow of Russia. They bought into it, and they paid. The American taxpayer paid for it. Prigozhin makes a billion. Putin gets a billion. Lukashenko gets a billion. That leaves $3 billion more. At least $1 billion went for equipment and supplies to upgrade probably the Wagner military and then the general
MOD
military.
It was to improve the Wagner military and to pay bonuses to the guys who took part in the, quote, mutiny.
Exactly.
Because they get paid for their acting also.
The CIA got stung big time, and this is really funny. And when you understand that it's all about money, and the American taxpayers once again got taken to the cleaners, $6 billion worth. And in the meantime,
what happens?
Well,
we found $120 billion at Ukraine. Russia wanted
totally,
a little piece of the action, you know.
Of course. Yeah. It's all just so disgusting. So go ahead with your story. This is remarkable.
So some changes. It's like why the narrative in the West that we have this, the narrative we have in the West is Putin is on thin ice and stuff. No, he is not anywhere on thin ice. Okay, so they don't want the diplomats talking. Why not talk? Well, here's something they don't tell you either, because the United States has already got people talking about ending the war through back channels. These are not diplomats. They're just people who go out, go over and kind of feel things out and stuff, okay? That's what a back channel is. It's not official. But that's why they're doing it. What gives us another indication that they're doing this is John Kirby admitted that Russia is not trying to use nukes in Ukraine. You see, they're not talking about it. They're starting to actually say, okay, well, Russia's not going to really do this. This is because we could see it starting at the beginning of the month. Within the first 2 weeks of this month, the Western media can't really lie about it that much anymore. The actual mainstream media is saying that Ukraine cannot win, that there's no end to this war, okay? So what they are doing is they're looking for an out, okay? It's all playing into Putin's hands. I mean, here's what I think is going to happen is I think that Russia is going to soon go on the offensive and just go ahead and take it out. And let me explain why. Everybody, when you're looking at these military summary maps on the front page there, You'll notice that there's all kinds of symbols for, like, military units. It's usually a square box, and it has, like, an X in it. That means it's an infantry unit of some sort. If it's got, if it's got one bar up, that is a company. Two bars is a battalion. Three little lines on top of the box is a regiment. An X is a brigade. Okay, so that you can read and like if they have a circle, sort of a prolonged circle in there, that is an armored unit. If there's just one line through it, that's a cavalry unit. If there's two lines through it, an X through it, that's a mechanized infantry unit. Anyways, I'm very familiar with these symbols, and I'm sure there's other people out there that are. And what just overwhelmingly stuns me is how many units are concentrated on the front. Ukrainian units. It's like all of the Ukrainian army is on the front. They have very little units in the rear. Yeah, not hardly any. You know, and nothing significant. If Russia if they take a blitzkrieg along the Polish border and down to Kiev, there's no opposition hardly. You know.
Well, they're trying to.
May have to face a brigade here and there, and that's it.
The Zionists running Ukraine are doing a nationwide mobilization. They're trying to draft everyone between the age of 18 and 65 and put them in a uniform with an AK and 2 weeks of training and then put them in the front lines as cannon fodder. I still maintain that the Zelensky regime here, it's Zionists, these are all Zionists, are engaged in mass Christian goyim slaughter. They're trying to reduce the number of potential people who could stand up against them. And I think that that's quite clear. The number is about 400,000, give or take. The Ukrainian military is being liquidated to a large degree. So is a lot of material from the West, which is essentially older inventory. They've shipped them over there. And they're just being destroyed by the Russians. It's just being, it's ridiculous what's going on. Hold on just a second. Now, do you have any more about the Wagner?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Ukrainian counteroffensive, the state of it. I want to talk about the Ukrainian mobilization for war.
Do we want to finish the Wagner
other attacks?
Mitch,
well, I've kind of. If you want to talk any more about it, I'll answer any questions and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's basically my report. You know.
All right. So the CIA tried to get involved here. Offered to bribe Prigozhin, to kill Putin, overthrow Putin. This is all the story. Billions of dollars were involved, and the Russians played the CIA, took the money, and they're still laughing, drinking champagne and eating caviar. Now, Wagner PMC has been taken out of Donbass, and the rest of it that was still in Rostov-on-Don, they've moved them all into Belarus. There are three camps being built around a military base in Belarus that are allegedly going to hold about 8,000 Wagner troops each. So there's about 25,000 troops there. There are more, but that's what's being put together right now. This is 100 kilometers north of Kiev. It's not very far at all. Keep in mind, when they were in Donbass, they were 300 kilometers from Kiev. Now they're just 100 kilometers away. So Prigozhin is there. Believe it, he's still involved with Wagner. The Wagner troops and all their equipment are there now. And if anybody looks at what happened, the march out of Donbass toward Rostov-on-Don with all those troops, all those trucks, all that heavy armor, tanks, you name it, and none of it was intercepted or bombed or interfered with, and they don't get it, they don't want to get it. It's obvious what's going on. Every single thing that happened fits the scenario that you laid out. This has been a sting operation, and it is hilarious. Once again,
well, the thing about
Americans
it is
get burned.
Would the CIA do something like that? Well, yes, they would. You know, my experience of them is they would do anything. They have no morality, no boundaries. They will do anything to accomplish the mission, anything. And morality doesn't matter. Common decency doesn't matter. Nothing matters. I spent years in Latin America watching the CIA bribe people to overthrow governments and to whack people and stuff like that for political reasons. So, yes, this is something the CIA would do. I have no doubt they would do it just the way they did it. By the way, those six American volunteers have all perished in action.
Funniest thing.
None of them are still alive.
No.
They knew who they were.
Nobody
they knew who they
the
were because they were very well-trained Americans. They were Special Forces guys, SEAL team guys. They were the best. They knew that if they went and applied, they would get hired. Okay. But the Russians looked at it and said, oh, yeah, these guys, they could walk in and get $20,000 a month any day of the week. But here they are coming to Russia for $2,000 a month. I mean, so $2,000 a month. No, that doesn't add up. They smell the rat right away. But they let them do what they came to do. They let them insinuate themselves to Prigozhin and get the message to him that they'll pay him. And they arranged for the bribe. The people that took the money and everything over there, they're all dead, every one of them. Now, do you want to know why Anthony Blinken won't talk about any of this? And when he says, oh, it's an internal matter of Russia, we don't want to say anything about it, we're not going to talk about it at all. Well, because it's embarrassing, because they got ripped off and they got their guys killed. So, you know, there's some families out there, six families, that have gotten notice that their contractor husbands or sons or whatever have perished, but they perished in, you know, Iraq or Somalia someplace. They're not going to say they perished in Russia. Their families don't even know that what they were doing, because they don't even tell that kind of stuff to anybody.
No.
So
no.
Everybody will be clueless, you know.
Keep in mind, this was all a CIA attempted bribe to overthrow Putin. Just keep it simple.
Overthrow and kill him.
Yep.
They wanted him dead also. $6 billion. Yes, you want to overthrow the government and you want to kill the leader. Okay. It would be
Everything Wagner did fits this scenario like a hand in a glove. It's perfect. It's exactly what happened.
And one of the reasons I wanted to go into what Wagner Group was about is so that you could understand that all they did is they used this as cover to do what they were going to do anyway. They were the MOD wanted to bring Wagner under the MOD, and they wanted the Wagner troops to have contracts with the MOD instead of just the Wagner company, and they wanted to do this just to streamline and make it more efficient to get supplies and stuff like that to them. So you don't have to.
What
had
happened with
accounting.
Wagner is that they acquitted themselves so extraordinarily, especially in Bakhmut. They took Bakhmut. It was all Wagner that did that. 95%
yeah.
Wagner, from what I understand. I may be wrong, but
I don't
think so.
Mm-hmm.
And they became basically kind of folk heroes throughout all of Russia. They had tremendous popularity,
right.
The Wagner troops. They called them the musicians, remember? That's what they called
right.
them in the beginning.
Yeah, there's
and
a little long
had,
thing.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, finish.
I was going to say, There's a little known thing, like I was just said, that most of the people in the Wagner Group are Russians, but the second largest group of people is Serbians. Okay, and why would Bakhmut be significant to them? Well, a lot of people don't realize this, but Bakhmut is a city that was settled and founded by Serbians long ago in history.
Okay.
Some Serbians came over and set that up as a Serbian city. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So it has a history of Serbs and stuff. So that was a little bit more. If they're going to pick a place and they want to motivate Serbs, well, the place to do it would be Bakhmut. Okay, they think of these things. America would never think of stuff like this. Important things that would motivate people. Well, we just don't care because, you know, these rich Zionist people that run everything, they don't know what they're doing. They just think that they're God's gift to the earth, or Satan's gift to the earth, I guess you might say. So let me pull up a few facts on the Ukrainian counteroffensive. So on June 21st, Zelensky admitted that the counteroffensive was not going well after NATO experts said that the tasks announced by Kiev are actually unachievable. Ukrainian losses between June 4th and the 21st were 13,000 men killed in action, more deaths in 2 weeks than we lost in 20 years of Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Okay, that's to give you some perspective on how these people are being slaughtered. By the way, on the day that they had the mutiny, Ukraine took advantage of that and ran some offensive. That day, Ukraine lost 800 killed in action because they thought, oh, this is a chance to take advantage of weakness in Russia. Well, they didn't know it was a play. Okay. So between the 4th and the 21st, they lost 246 tanks, 595 armored vehicles, 424 cars and trucks, 279 tubes of artillery, 42 multiple rocket launchers, 2 Patriot batteries. Each battery costs us $1.1 billion. There's $2.2 billion right there, okay, that we wasted. 10 tactical fighter jets, 4 helicopters, and 260 UAVs. On June 22nd, Scott Ritter commented about the failure of the 47th Mechanized Infantry Brigade, Ukraine's best trained and equipped unit. If you remember, I discussed that last time, how they were the best trained, but they got their butts kicked right away. They were nothing. They were a nothing burger. He said that they spent 6 months learning American combined arms warfare. He said that they failed to breach even the lightly dug in and defended front line of defense and was decimated in the process. Ritter blamed the Ukrainians using German-made computer battle training aid. It is all computer done, like a video game, and served to just give the Ukrainian officers and NCOs a false sense of security. I can relate to this. Let me give an analogy. 1985, while attending the Armored Cavalry Officers Basic Course at Fort Knox, Kentucky, maybe soon to be called Fort George Floyd or Fort Dylan Mulvaney, they were trying out tank gunnery training on computers to save money. Thankfully, we did this training for real, because all that computer simulator does is give you a false sense of confidence. You see, in a real war, there is friction. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Computer simulators never have friction as a variable. That's why it gives you a false sense of security. It's like playing a video game. You can master it, but if you were out there with real rifles and pistols and stuff, it's a different story, okay? It is nothing more than a video game. By June 1985, I was a trained tank commander. Let me describe this. In a tank, you have a driver, a loader who loads the gun, a gunner who puts the gun on target and fires the gun. Then above the gunner is the tank commander, who directs the tank and also tells the gunner what targets to shoot in which order or which priority. Mm-hmm. I was a proficient tank driver, ammunition loader, and gunner when I finished my basic course. But being a proficient tank commander takes more training and experience. I was familiar with being a tank commander in a year of practice, but not proficient at it. Then I went to a tank commander's course at Gallon Field, Idaho in 1986, which made me a good tank commander. But it was another year of practice for me to become a proficient tank commander. So 2.5 years minimum. If you think you are a good tank commander before that, you are delusional. 6 months is not sufficient. It was telling that reports from Ukraine said that the Ukrainian soldiers were sabotaging their own tanks so they could not go into battle with them. They know that they are not trained well enough. Computer simulation of war is nonsense. It simulates nothing real or actual. It is just an excuse to sell electronic toys to the Department of Defense. Then on June 22nd, CNN finally admitted that the Ukrainian counteroffensive was not meeting U.S. expectations. They opined that the Russian defense has proven more competent than expected. They said that Washington will reevaluate the counteroffensive in July. The counteroffensive is seen as crucial to determining who ultimately wins the war. This is arrogance also. So keep in mind, July 7th is the... So that's the NATO meeting this July 7th. And NATO's already backed down from all the wonderful things that they said they were going to give Ukraine. They're already kind of distancing themselves from Zelensky at this point.
There was there was one note today on the Military Summary Channel, and the guy said it has been studied, and at the rate that the Ukrainian military is moving forward into Donbass, it will take them 62 years to reach the other side.
Oh, yeah.
They'll never make it. No. This is ridiculous. And also keep in mind that the Ukrainian military is getting the very best U.S. and NATO strategy and battlefield planning. They're getting the best.
And
this
intelligence.
Is what's happening. That's it.
And intelligence. We're giving them all their intelligence.
Right.
So let me talk about the mobilization for war. Because these numbers are significant, and they'll tell you how things are going. Russians are enlisting in the Army right now at the rate of 1,336 enlistments per day, or 26,720 enlistments per month. The U.S. Army needs 5,000 enlistees per month, but cannot even get 3,750 per month.
And that's with standards lowered to the ground.
Yes. You can be anything and be a soldier now. The United States recruits 125 soldiers per day. Russia recruits 10 times as many troops per day than we do, and they only have half of our population. Russian Defense Ministry Sergei Shoigu says that they are enlisting enough to form a new regiment every day. A new regiment every day. This means that a new brigade every 2 days, a new division each week, a new corps every month. The Ukrainians are starting to draft everyone. Now all males 14 to 65 have to show up to be inducted to the Army. They cannot wait for a draft notice. Ukraine wants to raise another 100,000 troops for a new offensive. And, well, you know, listen, you can't just get a bunch of bodies and throw them together and say, oh, yeah, this is a great fighting force. It doesn't work that way, okay? Numbers do matter, but, you know, there is a quality to quantity. But at the same time, they're fairly useless if they're not trained, okay? Then it all, you know, it's just a waste of life is what it is.
That's
interesting.
So let me go over. I can't go back to this, but I do believe that there's a distinct and obvious effort to remove as many competent Ukrainian citizens from potentially, well, opposing the government.
No, you're exactly correct, Jeff. You are exactly correct. Zelensky himself said a week ago, he said that Ukraine will be the most multicultural, diverse nation in Europe. Because they're going to import people from the Muslim countries, from Asia, from Africa, and those people will be the Ukrainians, the new Ukrainians.
Yeah.
He
How about
said
the new
this openly.
That too. Yeah, I know.
Yes, he has said that. It will be the new Israel also. So they can dream, I guess. So let me go over the Zaporizhzhia nuclear attack, because this, we had put a lot of effort into this, and we really wanted this to happen. The Ukrainian Deputy Defense Minister, Anna Malyar, on June 20th, said that the biggest blow to the Russians is about to come. The disgusting pedophile Biden said the same day that Russia is getting ready to use a smaller-yield tactical nuke in Ukraine. Keep this in mind, people. You've got the president saying something, and you've got the defense minister in Ukraine saying that the biggest blow to the Russians is about to come. Okay, how does Biden know this? Because he is going to launch it for the Russians, or to be precise, he's going to launch it and blame it on Russia. You see, they were expecting a big breakthrough Russian lines to make it look like the Russians were routed. Then out of desperation, the Russians would use a tactical nuke at Zaporizhzhia to save themselves. That narrative failed, so they could not do it. NATO officers were angry with Zelensky for splitting the main effort. In fact, there was no main effort at all, but four secondary efforts at Zaporizhzhia, Robotyne, Donetsk, and Bakhmut all failed miserably. What NATO wanted them to do is one major attack down through Zaporizhzhia, and that would allow them to make it look like the Russians were routed, and then they could do their nuclear thing. So you should never divide your forces. It is a certain recipe for failure. So now they have to focus on making Russian troops retreat sufficiently enough at Zaporizhzhia to justify their narrative of why the Russians nuked Zaporizhzhia. The United States is so sure that if Russia used a nuke in Ukraine, it would allow NATO to enter the war as a conventional war, and Russia would not go strategically nuclear. This, people, is delusional. Russia thinks no such thing. They have said time and time again that if there is an existential threat to Russia, they will nuke the USA and Western Europe. They have never said they were going to nuke Ukraine. They said USA and Europe. They are uninterested in our delusional worldview, our sodomite Marxist political narrative, or our outdated military philosophy. They will nuke us. On Thursday, Lindsey Graham and Michael Blumenthal said that if Russia uses a nuke in Ukraine, the same old thing they've been saying all along when Russia has never said that, the U.S. should nuke Russia with a full strategic strike. The same day, Zelensky said that Ukraine will build its own nuclear weapon. Keep this in mind, people, because we already gave him a tactical nuke. He has one. Okay. We have control of it, but it is in Ukraine already. Keep in mind that there is already an American tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine. We have known that for a year. When Zelensky announces that they have a nuclear weapon, it will be the one we gave them, not one they made from scratch. Congressmen, usually Republicans, suggest that we arm Ukraine with nuclear weapons. This is insane. Okay, we're going to die if we do that, because it doesn't fool Russia at all. Nuclear brinkmanship is a dangerous game. Russia takes it seriously, and they will launch a full nuclear attack if we push them too far. Now we are in a time of danger because of the irrational, nearsighted Biden regime policies that have absolutely no foresight and underestimates Russian resolve. Does the old incestuous pedophile Biden know what he is doing? Last week, Biden stated that he was the best president ever at foreign policy and told Henry Kissinger that he even surpassed him with his mastery of foreign policy. He alone may think he knows what he is doing. Keep in mind that when meeting with President Modi of India, our president, Joe Biden, the pedophile, stated very clearly, "Oh, I've been busy selling state secrets." He's an old man. He doesn't have his mind. That. He's just telling the truth is what he's doing.
He doesn't even know how to lie.
He's telling
anymore.
The truth.
Jeez.
No, he's terrible. Our government wants us dead, and they want to have sex with our kids. We do nothing significant to counter this. America is about to go to hell because we willingly sacrifice our children on the woke altar of Moloch. Okay? So don't rest easy yet.
No. Look at the pride parades. And again, I urge you to look at the people watching the parades. That's the message. Okay?
Yeah.
They're always perverts and pedophiles. But the people coming out to cheer and applaud and shriek in delight at the parade participants, that's the message. Watch it closely. And look at all those poor little children there on the sidelines. Those parents are just unfit.
Oh man, they're being led into hell by their parents and stuff. Okay,
exactly.
Listen, I know about this. Yeah. In 1963, I had a sister. In 1963, she was molested. Okay, 1963. She's still alive today. She's in a nursing home. Her life has been an unrelieved hell. Every single day of her life from 1963 until this very time, she's been living in hell. She never got anything in this life, and it's because some pedophile buggered her. Okay, this is not some like hypothetical thing that, oh, this could be harmful to children. This kills a child's soul. It leaves their body alive, but it kills their soul. This is a horrible crime. You know, it's like we talk like, oh, minor attracted people at MAPS, you know, minor attracted people. We're already creating euphemisms for this. But let me tell you what Christ said. He said, if you hurt these little ones, you have to answer to me personally, and it's better that you tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself in the ocean than have to face me after you've done this to children. Okay? So Christ takes this extremely seriously. God is, like, appalled at our willingness to let our children go into this Moloch hell. We are throwing them into the fire of Moloch with this stuff, okay? Yeah. It's horrible. So let me go on to the next big attack that the CIA has planned, okay? This is the BRICS meeting attack. It has not escaped NATO that Russia is winning the sanctions war and we are losing it, and that BRICS is a major factor in that. President Macron of France, a G7 nation, wants an invite to the BRICS summit in South Africa in August. The real reason is to get his security team in the nation to help disrupt the conference. Russia has asked South Africa not to invite France because it is not a developing nation and is actually in the camp hostile to the rest of the world. Every African nation that Macron has visited in the last 2 years has talked to Macron forcefully, calling him a liar to his face at press conferences, condemning France's foreign policy at every news conference that he has, every news conference that he has had in Africa. So far, Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, the Central African Republic have all kicked France out and replaced them with Russian assistance. France wants to be on the ground in South Africa to see Russia's plans disrupted. Thursday, Cameroon, an African nation, banned the French Minister of Human Rights for LGBT from coming to Cameroon to hold a symposium on gay rights. It's like there's something about Americans and Europeans. We want the world to be gay. We want a gay world. We want to spread sodomy at the point of bayonet around the earth. We will sanction them if they do not practice sodomy in their country. Okay, Macron wants to go to the BRICS meeting just to destroy the BRICS as a bloc. That's all. He just wants to go to disrupt. Plan B is to kill or kidnap Putin when he is on his way to or after he arrives in South Africa. The response of South African people will be harsh if we do this. Western embassies will burn, and citizens of NATO or EU nations will be hunted down in the streets and murdered. Listen, in South Africa, they like to kill white people anyway. It's just give them another excuse to exterminate more white people. That's what's going on there, okay? It's a very stupid idea, so you can bet that we will do it, okay? We will do every stupid thing in order to achieve our goals. And what is our goal? We want to screw Ukraine up. We want to destroy them it's a genocide. We want to destroy them as a race of people and replace them with like Middle Easterners and Africans and Latin Americans or even Asians, whatever, whoever will come.
Presided
to,
over by Zionists.
Yeah. Right.
That's what's going on.
Right, right. That is what Zionism is. You know, I want to remind everybody, and I can't drive this home a lot enough, but you know, we as people have usually been taught that the Jewish Messiah is the same thing as Jesus Christ. He is not. The Messiah, there isn't a second coming. It's the first coming for the Jews, and their Messiah is a human being who rises to the level of God. the Jewish Messiah is what Christians call the Antichrist. Okay, so let me take this from Rabbi Schneerson, okay, quote by him, in order for the Jewish Messiah to come, Christians, Muslims, and white people have to be exterminated.
Read them.
That is
read
the Zionist plot right
read
there.
Read Schneerson's words, the Lubavitcher founder, Rabbi Schneerson, dead, but his writings remain. It's all there.
Yep.
So just again, to recap very briefly, the CIA tried to infiltrate Wagner, ended up paying out around $6 billion altogether, ostensibly to get Wagner to assassinate and overthrow Putin. And the Russians found out about it. The leadership found out about it. They played the CIA, took the $6 billion, staged a phony revolt, and are laughing to this minute. That's what they're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. And keep in mind that the whole thing, that what's going on with Wagner right now, that's what they were going to do anyway, okay? They just were able to play that into a big play and make it into theater to distract us, okay? Because they're going to, you know, they like the idea that we think this is a weakness that Putin is facing, you know? But the real weakness is us. We have a bunch of narrow-minded faggots with no vision or foresight at all running our military, running our government, you know.
Pinheads. Yep.
Yeah, pinheads, you bet.
It's bad. All right, Mitch, thank you for sharing all that. That's quite a survey.
Well, you're very welcome.
All right. Talk soon. You be well.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in a few minutes. And have another hour for you. David Oates coming up next with more reverse speech. Always fun and fascinating. Stay tuned.